So the main topic in this parsha, obviously, the main topic is the topic of the birth of Esav, which is not just about the birth of Esav, it's the birth of the nation of Esav versus the birth of the nation of Yaakov. Okay. How do I know that? The pasuk says it straight out. The pasuk says straight out this idea that this is the birth of Yaakov and the birth of Esav is the birth of the two nations. It's right here. The pasuk says. It says the following. Am I in the right place? It says here that she wasn't sure what's going on. She felt that there are, things in her stomach. She's feeling things. She doesn't know what's going on. So she says the following. She says, "Vayomer Hashem la." So Hashem says to her, "Shnei goyim bebitnech." There are two nations in inside. Ushnei leumim, and another word for nations, mimeayichi paredu. That will split from inside you. And one will overpower the other. Okay, so this is the fight between two nations. It's not the fight between two twin brothers. Okay, this is a much deeper fight than that. This is an issue of nations, fighting nations, being developed, being created. That's what's going on over here. So now, let's analyze this pasuk. Okay, you see the pasuk? You can see it. It says there are two nations in your womb, and two le'umim, two separate peoples. What's the difference between a goy and an umah? Because clearly the Torah is saying there's a difference between the goy and the umah. You have two goyim in you, and you have two le'umim in you. What's the difference between a goy and an umah? Number one. Number two is that it says ula'oim. When you're determining who's going to win, the determination is based on which le'um is going to win, which umah is going to win. So it sounds like what makes the umah win is that it's an umah, is not that it's a goy. Okay, understand what I'm saying? So how do we understand the pasuk? So first of all, Rashi already discusses it a little bit.
I don't understand very well.
What?
Sorry. I didn't understand very well the difference between the umot and the.
I didn't say the difference. I'm just pointing out that there is a difference.
Okay, that there is okay.
I'm saying two points. I'm saying there is a difference, and when you want to know who's going to win, who's going to beat the other one, who's going to be more successful, it's not who's a better goy than the other one. It's who's a better umma than the other one.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the pasuk, it says,
Okay. Okay.
In other words,
Okay.
there's two things happening. There's two goyim and there's two umos. It's not that which goy is going to win the battle, it's which umma is going to win the battle.
Okay. Okay.
So what is a goy and what is an umma? So Rashi, let's as usual, what's the first stop when you have any question? Rashi. So Rashi says, Shnei goyim, the word goyim is written without a vav. It's an allusion to Antoninus and Rebbe, whatever that means. But here it says, Shnei le'umim. They translate it as two races. I don't know what that means. But anyway, it says the word le'um denotes a people that has all characteristics of a kingdom. It's so complicated. Rashi says, Ein le'oim ela malchus. A le'oim is a malchus, the malchus of the people. Okay. And then it says, They will never have the gedula the same. There will never be a time that these two nations have gedula at the same time. Kishezek come, zen noifa. When one is successful, the other one is not. Okay. Now, for you people, I decided to give you a treat, and If it's not going to be a gra, so we'll find something else. The next best thing is a Rambam. Okay. Now, in the Rambam, I don't have a Rambam right now, but I have the Pirish. This Sefer is a Pirish of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam. Okay, it's Pirish HaTorah LaAvraham ben Arambam, the son of the Rambam. So the son of the Rambam writes that a goy means is defining the size of the nation. It's a group of people. Like it says, pray Urave, goy ukahal goyim yumi mecca. So it's referring to the size of the people. So he's saying there's two goyim. There's going to be two big nations of groups of people. What's the difference between this one and that one? Nothing. Just the size, necessarily. Now you would think, right? But then it says, ula'oim mila'oim. You will also have two le'umais. You will also have two umais. What's an umma? What's an umma? So he says, an umma is from the Lashon, very interesting, of emuna. Umma is the Lashon of emuna. And Avraham ben Arambam says, v'tam shnei le'umim remez l'predas emunoseihem. It's referring to the fact that they have different emuna. They trust in different things. They believe in different things. They have a different belief system. V'chizek ezeh, kloimar, is tam preda. And he says, you know why they're going to separate? How are they going to become separate? Ula'om mila'om me'ayich yeparedu. Ushnei le'umim me'ayich yeparedu. The reason they're separate is because there are separate umas. Not because they're separate goyim. It's because they're separate umas. They believe in separate things. They believe in different things. And that's what Rashi said. Each one is its own malchus. They run their countries differently. They run their belief system differently. It's based on their emuna. The chizek is it. Kloyma es tama preda. B'mamara yiparedu. Okay. Now, therefore, says the pasuk, there's going to be two value systems, two emunais, and each one is going to be separate from the other one. Okay. Now the question is, when you want to know which one is going to win, so if you had to determine which one is going to win, how would you determine it? I may have determined it based on the size. Which one is a more stronger guy? Which is a stronger guy, right? Not which one is a better umma, because the guy is referring to your size. So I would say whichever guy is stronger. He doesn't say that. He says that the one umma will beat the other umma. In other words, at the end, what determines who's on top is how strong your umma is, not how strong your goy is. It's how strong your belief system is. It's not how strong your nation is, your people are. Your it's how strong your umma is. It's how strong your belief system is. That determines who's going to win. And sometimes, ula'oim mila'oim yamats. Well, one second, I have to tell this person who's going back. That was my son from Yeshiva. I told him to call me back. Okay. So the which one wins is which one is a greater umma, not which one is a greater, right? Someone told me that they were listening to a radio show, and that the radio show person said, why does everyone hate the Jews? So he says, because, so he said, there's a study made and five reasons back and forth. And he says, nothing to do with that. This guy says, there's nothing to do with that. This is famous guy, famous, very conservative guy. Anyway, so he said, it's not because of that. I'll tell you why it is. The reason is because the world today, everyone does what they want. No one believes in anything. No one believes in anything at all. And the Jewish people are the only ones that still believe in the same thing they believed in 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and they go with their belief. And everybody in the world is jealous, and they know they really have it. So therefore, that's what's good. That's what gets under people's skin. They really have it. And he said, this guy, he said, that's why you see that the Israelis are very confident and very very unified is because they know that they have something that no one else has. This is what he was saying. In other words, he was tapping onto this point that the koch of the ummah is what wins. It's the power of being an ummah, having a real emunah system, having really a true belief system in something so specific. That's what ultimately gets us to being powerful. So the question is, which ummah is going to beat the other ummah? And then he goes on and says that whenever, what determines if we win or we lose? How do we know if we're going to win or we're going to lose? It all depends on how strong our ummah is. If in our ummah, in our belief system, we're weak, then the belief system of the outside world will get stronger. So the ummah of Esav will get stronger if our ummah gets weaker. And that's why Rashi says that there's a direct correlation between the two. Right? You saw the Rashi? It says here. It says, Lo yishvu begdula. Look at this Rashi. Read this Rashi. They will never be equally great at the same time. Sylvan, you can see what I'm reading here?
Two separate people shall issue from your body.
Yeah,
and one people shall be mightier than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.
Yeah. And look at Rashi here. This Rashi that I'm underlining. The last one. They will never be equally great at the same time. When one rises, the other will fall. Thus it says, because Esav says about Yerushalayim, I shall be filled with her that is laid away. It becomes full through the ruin of Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim is down, the Goyim are up. When we're up, they're down. Why? Because it's a belief system. If our belief system is powerful and clear and the world sees it, then they realize everything they believe in or don't believe in is not worth anything. Right? They see that. They understand it. So what triggers? What triggers is when we are strong in our belief. When we're strong in it, that's what triggers that they see that we're the ikar. So at the end of the
day, exactly what is happening now, no?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Always we trigger the situation, because what happens if we are very strong in our belief and they are also strong in their belief?
No, that's what he's saying. It's impossible. That's what Rashi says. That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen because, but we. Let's say that.
Well, what's going on here? What? Yeah, keep going. What?
Ellos actúan de acuerdo a lo que nosotros hacemos. Si nosotros estamos fuertes, ellos están débiles. Nosotros estamos débiles, ellos están fuertes.
Claro.
That's what Rashi says. Rashi says.
Rashi doesn't say that we trigger the process.
Well, Rashi kind of does, because at the end he says, it says, Tire, which is tsur, which is the, it says, becomes full only through the ruin of Yerushalayim.
Okay.
That's how you get rid of that. Okay. So it only becomes full through the ruin of Yerushalayim. It's when we're weak, that's when they become strong. there's another Rashi like that. Rashi says here, now, there's one other thing I'll show you, but Rashi says here, "Shazek kam zen noifel," right? It always works like this. So, I was very taken aback from this idea is that it's not just that we have different nations; we're different lumen. We have different beliefs, different emunah, and there is sometimes that they could work together. That's what Rashi says in the very beginning. Rashi says in the beginning that there is a word written goyim. Sometimes they won't be separate, an allusion to Antoninus and Rebbe, from whose table neither radish nor lettuce was absent. Well, what's Rashi talking about here? Antoninus, Rebbe, what's going on over there? So Rashi here is referring to a very interesting arrangement. Okay. The arrangement was in that scenario, Antoninus was like the Caesar, and Rebbe was the leader of the Jewish people, and Antoninus came every day to Rebbe's table to learn Torah from him. And Rebbe had all the riches of Antoninus. So Maharal Prague explains that really there is an ideal setup that Esav, if they understand that our Ummah power is stronger and they want to learn from us, then they could survive as kind of a subordinate to us. Then there is a way to survive as a subordinate to us. There is such a thing. But that system it only happened once in history. It doesn't usually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, which by the way explains a lot. It explains the whole idea. What in the world was Yitzchak thinking? What did Yitzchak want to give the brachot to Esav? The answer is he wanted to give the brachot to Esav so that Esav could be subordinate to Yaakov and then Esav could be part of the nation. He wanted to allow Esav to become part of the nation and he would have a role as part of the nation. And ultimately he would end up having a role as part of the nation. In the end, it didn't work out that way. But that was the ultimate concept. Okay? Now, it says here that right away, this idea is true. I think we say it in the Tefillot also. We make a difference between the Uma and the Goy. No? We say, right? That there's an idea that they're nations, they're just goyim, they're just other people. Okay? So, these two parshiot of Vayera and Toldot, each one is describing the birth of a conflicting nation with us. There's the birth of the nation of Ishmael, and there's the birth of the nation of Esav. Right? Esav really poses a very different challenge than Yishmael. Yishmael claims, like I said, we spoke about this last time. Yishmael claims that they have the truth. Esav never claims that. Just Esav's whole philosophy is different. Esav's philosophy is different than our philosophy. They want, right? Let's take Esav's name, for example. Why was Esav called Esav? You ever thought about that? What? So Rashi says, Rashi explains why we call him Esav. So look at the Rashi, and it's a very telling point. Rashi says, "Vayikru shmo Esav," says Rashi. Everybody called him this because he was made, asa, and fully developed with hair. So Esav is from the language of asa. He was already made. He was already developed. I don't understand. Why is that an important point? It's like if a kid is born, he's a 10 pound kid. So you call him, heavy. Why is that an important factor that he was already
hairy?
I'll say unbelievable point. No, this is a defining feature of Esav. Defining feature. Why? Because Esav looks at himself like he's complete. He's done. I'm already fully developed. I don't need to grow more. I don't need to change. I don't know. I'm good. What's Yaakov? Yaakov is the heel. Yaakov, look, I'm on the bottom. I start off at the bottom. I have to go up. I'm all about growth. I'm all about change. Right? Yaakov is Ish Tam. Yosheva. How's Yaakov described? As a person of studying. A person of growth, right? What's Esav? All that, he's not focused on that. He's focused on the tzayid, right? So the remez of Esav in this that he was called Asui is not stam, you know, he had a lot of hair. The point is, it's a defining feature of his quality. And this is part of the Ummah. The Ummah of Yisrael is all about growth, studying. It's not about being in the moment. It's not about enjoying life and just feeling, yeah? So Esav is all about feeling that you're complete. And Yisrael is all about growth, being Yoshev Oyelim, to learn more, study more, grow more. That's the that's what Yaakov is about. And Esav is Asui, I'm good. I don't have to grow further. And these two philosophies don't fit, right? Somebody at you know, what's the goal? What's the goal of the world out there? You work hard for a couple of years, you work hard, you know, the primary years of your life, and then you can retire and enjoy life. You know, our Gedolim, who are our Gedolim? Our Gedolim usually only became Gedolim at the age of 75, 80 years old. That's when they started doing stuff for the people. Mm-hmm. Then they work on themselves. They started a whole new lifetime at the age of 80. Right? Imagine, these people never dealt with anything to do, like Rav Steinman and Rav Shach and
Rav Kanievsky.
They were learning and learning, teaching Talmidim, doing their thing. And all of a sudden, it comes the point that they have to take on a new role. At age 75, 80 years old, for the next 20 years, have a new life. Because you always have to be growing. What is everyone else? Okay, I hit retirement. I'm good. Don't bother me. I want to play golf. I'm ready to play golf. It doesn't make sense. You're finished, basically. So what are you here for? You know? So if we know that we always have opportunities to grow, right? So there's always a new challenge. There's always a new situation. There's no time to say, I'm done. We're never done. Esav is done. Asui, he's done. He could be done. Mm-hmm. We're done. We have to be on the bottom. We're Akev. We need to be growing and growing. That's why you have to. There's always what to learn. Always have to keep learning. And that's not just about, you know, okay, I hit retirement. I'm good. Right? So...
That was the dream when you are young. In my life, yeah. I'm going to retire.
And I retire, and then I have no worries. No, yeah. That's when life starts.
So right.
Anyway, okay, everybody. So that's the lesson. Okay.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
Alex is on. Okay.
Bye. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi.